From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made this past Saturday when Monroe County Democrats elected new leadership. You've probably heard about intra-party fighting within the Democrats for years now. Two camps, two factions, turf wars, fighting for power and control. Fair or not, that has been the perception. And now the party turns to new leadership in an effort to steer in a different direction. The new chair is Zach King, who will join us for the first time on Connections this hour. He's got a tall order in front of him and a team to help. The vice chair, Stephen DeVay, who's become a kind of campaign data wizard. Beatriz LeBron, a member of the Rochester City School Board, is the new party treasurer. Ebony Dukes is the secretary. This is the team that ran as a slate. And this hour, we intended to take the conversation in a different direction. We invited the local party chairs for the Democrats and the Republicans to come on the show this hour and discuss the future of their parties in light of last night's vice presidential debate. Now, it's no certainty, but it's possible that Mike Pence and Kamala Harris could represent future standard bearers for their parties. And for voters who want fresh faces and ideas, it was a chance to examine what the next round of leadership might offer. But a pattern has emerged this fall. Local Republicans are happy to come on the show and talk about local races or state races, and we certainly welcome them. But they generally will not come on to talk about the presidential contest, and they don't really want to be asked about it either. Democrats, on the other hand, were eager to join us. So instead of a discussion about what we saw on stage last night, we'll fold that into a conversation about a number of issues, about the local Democrats, what they're trying to forge with a new kind of direction, a cohesive approach within a diverse coalition. So I'll welcome our guests for the hour. And instead of two and two, we're going to welcome the whole slate that is now the leadership of the Monroe County Democrats. Zach King is the new chairman. Zach, welcome. Nice to have you.
Hello, Evan. Thank you for having me on. I've been a longtime listener, and I'm really excited to get on the show for the first time. So thank you for having me.
I think, Zach, tell me if I'm wrong, I think I met you at Sips Coffee Shop. You ever been in Sips before?
I know Sips very well. I actually used to work there before I got into the political game here. And, I still stop in every once and again. It's just across the river from my mother's house. So anytime I can stop in there and grab some coffee, I'm more than happy to jump in.
That's right. So this must have been a few years ago, and you, of course, were doing some kind of organizing work. And we said hello, and somebody grabbed me and said, that guy's going to be helping lead this party for a long time. It happened pretty quick, so it's great to talk to you. Thank you. Hello to Beatriz LeBron. Beatriz is treasurer of the Monroe County Democratic Party. Beatriz, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Evan.
You got it.
Great to be on.
Hello to Ebony Dukes, the secretary of the party. Ebony, welcome. Thanks for making time.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me today. Thank you for having us.
You got it. And Stephen DeVay, the vice chair. Stephen, welcome to you as well.
Yes, thank you for having us, Evan.
Well, in a sense, we're going to kind of go in a slightly different direction than what we planned, as I mentioned. But because we had initially planned to kind of break a little bit down from last night, let me just ask all of you, there's this dynamic that when I ask Democrats, are you supporting Joe Biden? They'll almost to a Democrat, they say yes. And if I ask, did you support Joe Biden in the primary? It's a mix. I mean, some say yes, some say no. I was with Sanders, I was with Warren, I was with Harris or otherwise. But there's sort of a cohesiveness. It's harder for me to get that kind of answer from Republicans right now. Zach, I'll start with you. I mean, do you feel like on the VP debate stage last night, is that part of the future of the party? Do you see Kamala Harris as a standard bearer for your party?
Oh, yes, very much so. I thought it was a very great debate, especially for Senator Harris, because she came out and did what she needed to do. She came out and showed everyone that she is capable and willing to take up the mantle of the presidency if, the worst were to happen under a Biden presidential situation where he was unable to serve in office. I think she presented herself very well to the voters and made sure to make her case that she can, in fact, do the job. Both as vice president and as president. So I think she did a great job.
Were you with any one particular candidate in the primary, Zach?
I jumped a bit back and forth. I was definitely a big fan of Senator Harris in the primary. I was also a fan of Senator Warren. And actually, I really enjoyed the new perspective coming from Andrew Yang. I thought it brought a different voice in, and I thought he had a lot of great ideas as well. So it was a bit of a mix across the board for me across the primary as well.
See, you can say that. That's not so hard. You can say that and still say you're supporting Joe Biden.
Very much so.
So it's just a strange dynamic. Beatriz LeBron, where were you in the primary?
Definitely with Bernie Sanders first and Warren as well. I personally liked both of them as a team. Was hoping one of them would get through, and they didn't. And so we have Joe Biden. I will say I absolutely was not supporting Bloomberg in any capacity and never will. I can stand firm on that.
Okay. Well, he's moved around his political affiliation anyway.
Yes.
But Beatrice, what did you see last night from Senator Harris? Do you see a possible standard bearer for the party in the future?
I do. I think, you know, there was a lot of, I would say 95% of what she shared and the stances that she took, I support. I was not personally happy with the fracking. I say no to fracking. I think we absolutely should not be fracking, and we really need to do a better job in educating people about the impact of fracking to our environment and our community and our entire planet. And I did support the Joe Biden potentially going on and signing back yes to the Paris Climate Agreement. And then I also had some mixed feelings about some of the public safety reforms that she mentioned.
Okay, fair enough. Ebony Dukes, what did you see on stage last night?
I was heartened. I think Kamala, Senator Harris, is a wonderful representation of just how stark the difference is between what Americans have as a choice right now. I'm encouraged because the Biden-Harris camp did take on a bit more of a progressive platform than he had originally before bringing her on. I was a Bernie Sanders delegate, here in New York, so I was a supporter for him. but I'm glad to see that they have pushed the agenda a little more left. Make it very clear that there are some clear racial disparities, and everyone is aware as the turmoil our country is in right now, and a more finer lens that's being placed on racial inequality. So I'm glad she stood up to Pence and made it very plain to the American viewers the choice that they have, and the Democratic Party is a huge umbrella, and we're accepting of all people regardless of their sex, race, sexual orientation. So I think she did well.
And Ebony, regarding your work as a delegate for Bernie Sanders, anytime there is a primary, there's going to be one candidate who emerges successfully. For the other campaigns, it can be tough. It can be emotional. For a lot of Sanders Democrats, it was not only difficult, it felt it felt like a sort of a door that had been opened and then got slammed shut again. And to be clear here, when you see these kinds of primaries conclude, there's always a round for a couple of weeks, a round of supporters saying, that's it, I'm not getting on board. I was Sanders or nobody. Then most view the choices and end up supporting the Democratic standard bearer or the Republican standard bearer, as the case may be. And I think that's what we're seeing in the polls with Sanders supporters. That's essentially what we saw in 2016. We didn't see a historic departure away from Hillary Clinton. But I still do hear, Ebony, from some Sanders supporters who say, this election hurts, that this felt like a big open door, and whether they're supporting Biden or not, that this has been very difficult. Has it been difficult for you, or do you feel, a sense of optimism about where the campaign's gone for Democrats?
It's been difficult only in a sense of we knew the hope that we had for a more progressive platform. However, I think the vast majority of Bernie supporters understand what we have at risk. And, I have never been a never Joe person. I can't afford to be. I'm a Black woman. I have sons who are African-American. And, to be very frank, this just is not a protest election. We need everyone out there voting. We need folks to get registered. We need folks to, if they're afraid to get out because, the possibility of getting ill and want to social distance, they can do absentee ballots, whatever the case might be, early voting to avoid crowds. But I'm fairly confident that, despite any, emotions and sadness and disappointment that we all felt during the primary. Everyone, for the most part, is on board. Everyone is aware of what's at stake.
Stephen DeVay, where were you in the primary?
In the primary, I was behind Kamala as well as Warren. Elizabeth Warren was my favorite candidate, which is, I'm actually wearing a Nevertheless She Persisted t-shirt today because I thought it was apt after the debate last night because, you know, we watched what I hope and what we all hope on this, you know, at least on the Democratic side here, that we hope is our next vice president of the United States be interrupted repeatedly last night, have things that were tried to explain to her, like she didn't understand them, that she wasn't speaking the truth or facts. And I thought it was apt to wear the shirt from, you know, Elizabeth Warren, because the same thing has happened to her. The same thing happened to Kamala last night. We're seeing that same thing happen repeatedly as folks on the Republican side try to speak over and talk over, you know, folks like Kamala last night.
Well, to that point, let me ask Ebony, you know, as a black woman, I've been reading the commentary this morning from a number of black women who watched what happened last night. And the admonition I'm hearing is, look, if you're not a black woman, you might not understand what it feels like to essentially be shushed, told to you know, to stop talking, talked over, ignored, talked to like you don't understand. Did that dynamic, you know, feel familiar to you, or is that overstating it?
No, certainly. I do believe most black women have been silenced in all arenas. And unfortunately, I was not surprised at what transpired last night. you know, I think, you know, Senator Harris handled herself very well. And, you know, most black women are proud of the performance that she put on and you know, that she stood her ground. You know, even, you know, in her own brilliance and all her accomplishments, you know, there's still people, unfortunately, who look to silence us and marginalize our voices. And she wasn't having it. So I was there for it.
Beatrice LeBrun, as a woman of color, how did you sort of experience watching the debate from that perspective?
Watching it from that perspective, I actually watched it with my 9-year-old daughter, too. And watching her constantly get interrupted was frustrating, but it is also something that is very much so a real experience that occurs on so many professional levels, and certainly for myself on the school board with one particular male board member. So it is a very real and lived experience. And I actually took away some tips, and I will start saying I'm speaking or I'm talking from now on in a very calm demeanor, because that's not always how I approach it when I'm interrupted. So I think she absolutely did extremely well. But I believe it absolutely highlighted what women of color do go through in a real life, real time setting on a day to day basis.
Yeah. And Beatrice, on that point, on the way she handled those moments, I'm laughing sort of bemusedly because, you know, we could talk about the policy prescriptions. We could talk about where conservatives and progressives tend to part ways on policy. But I don't know what women are supposed to do beyond what Senator Harris tried to do last night. The way that women get picked apart for every facial expression. And I mentioned on Twitter this morning that the most consistent criticism of Senator Harris in terms of her smiling, the way she reacted with her facial expressions, which was generally, as you say, sort of calm and patient and sort of low-key but direct. The most consistent criticism I'm seeing of her is conservative women who are writing to me saying that she was arrogant, that they were turned off by her smiling and smirking, that they couldn't even listen to what she was saying. And I'm going, can we debate the policy? I don't understand what she's supposed to do. Does that surprise you to hear women? I mean, it's a lot of conservative women making those comments. Does that surprise you at all, Beatrice?
Absolutely not. And with, you know, these are the double standards, too, because our presidents, our first lady right now pose absolutely nude. And what the secret tapes that just were released, and she was talking very vulgar and vulgarities around another female individually. But, you know, they take no issues with that, but they take issues with Senator Kamala Harris because she made facial expressions. And I'll tell you, I give her so much kudos for the grace that she showed Pence. Because again, and Evan, you know me, and lots of folks in this community know me, I definitely would not have handled it the same way. And so that just also goes to show her own experience, right, and having dealt with this for a lifetime in politics, where I'm still newer in the arena of it. So, you know, I don't think there's anything more that she could have done. I think she was assertive in a very poised way, in a very friendly way. And accommodating the fact that, you know, he interrupted her several times. And I did see the side-by-side chart with the numbers of how many times he interrupted her versus she interrupted him. And so he by far interrupted her more times than she interrupted him. But also going over his time, not answering the questions, going back to responding back to the to questions that, you know, the time had moved for them to move on to the next topic. And he didn't just interrupt her or would talk to her. He's the moderator as well. So, you know, that's the stuff that we deal with as women of color, where we have to go the extra mile to be extra accommodating so that conservative people can feel comfortable. But we're not shown the same grace, even when we extend that same grace.
Talking.
I would actually add.
Yeah, go ahead, Ebony. Yep.
I would actually add that, you know, those comments that, you know, she was arrogant, those are actually racist dog whistles that are often used against people of color, you know, calling us uppity and things like that as well. So, again, it's just kind of casting a further light on what people in polite circles will say when really the undercurrent of all that is racism.
Talking to the new slate of Democratic leadership for Monroe County, the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, the treasurer, all with us this hour, just elected this past Saturday. And let me ask all four of you about some of these issues regarding the party and some of the perceptions that the public has versus how you see the reality. And Zach, you know, as we mentioned, there's this idea that there could be a split or there's factionalism. Let me read what Brian Sharp wrote in the Democrat and Chronicle. He wrote about your rise to the chairmanship. Quote, Zach King inherits a party with two de facto leaders in County Executive Adam Bello and Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren. A party so divided, its minority leadership in the county legislature is contested, and a breakaway faction is siding with Republicans in disputes in the legislature. This isn't going to be easy. The splits are deeply held, racially charged, and personal to some. King's predecessor was Brittany Wells, who previously was Mayor Warren's campaign director, and as of Monday, became the mayor's new chief of staff. And while Saturday's turnout was unanimous with what was said to be near record turnout, that turnout was 27%. And Brian Sharp quotes Vince Felder, a county legislator, who says, I wasn't there. I didn't vote. He said the new leadership is engineered and controlled by Congressman Joe Morelli. Felder said, quote, I'm still a Democrat, but as for the future of the party, we'll have to see what happens, end quote. There's a lot there. Let's start with what Vince Felder said. Legislator Felder says this slate of leadership was engineered and controlled by Congressman Morelli. Zach King, is that true?
That is definitely not true. I think, you know, it's interesting that narrative arises. But I can say honestly, this group came together as a group of concerned Democrats who wanted to give more to the party. And a big portion of that is all the great tools that we're all bringing to the table. You know, you mentioned earlier at the top of the conversation here that Stephen DeVay brings a great set of digital tools to the table that really is the new frontier when we talk about campaigning and trying and making sure that we're reaching out to more people, especially when we're talking about mid-pandemic and we can't do our usual canvassing efforts. We can't have as many volunteers around the offices. We can't get as many Democrats in a room for a rally anymore. So, you know, digital aspect of that is, you know, paramount to making sure that we're still getting our messages out and making sure that we're still having the conversation more broadly with the community outside of just Democrats. Beatrice LeBron, in her work on the school board, not only whistleblowing the massive budget deficit that was passed a few years back within the school board, but also passed by city council, you know, her acumen when it comes to understanding finances and making sure that, you know, we are being honest and truthful with how our financial situation is, because it does affect everyone, is another big piece to this, and making sure that the party is transparent in what we're doing and raising on our end. Ebony, also, as you mentioned and as she mentioned, you know, has served as a Bernie delegate. You know, so we have made large strides to make sure that, you know, as the Big Tent Party, we are accepting and working with everyone across the board, because, you know, we are Democrats. And again, we're the Big Tent Party. We're part of a big family, and big families fight. You know, we have arguments over Thanksgiving dinner, but at some point we have to make sure we're coming back to the table and making sure that we're working towards a better solution for not only our constituents, but voters across the county.
Let me ask you, your colleagues on that. Stephen DeVay, the vice chair, what do you say to the criticism of legislator Felder and perhaps others who would say that this is a Morelli slate?
I mean, I would say to them, you know, simply the truth, and that's the fact that it isn't. You know, we, you know, the four of us here sat down, we looked at what we could do, we looked at what the party could be doing and, you know, potentially should be doing to help get Democrats elected, you know, not just in the city of Rochester or other safe blue areas, but what we could do to grow the party across all of Monroe County. And we realized that the four of us had a great set of tools where if we came together in something that has never happened before, which is a slate coming together and saying, we want to run together. We want to run on this unified platform. We want to run on this unified set of ideals, and we want to serve the party, to make sure that we grow the Democratic Party. That way we're growing, you know, and expanding our bases, you know, not just in Pittsburgh that's doing great things to get people elected in Irondequoit, Brighton, and the city, but what can we do to get more registered Democrats in Chi-Lai, in Hamlin, in Greece, and across this county? There's nothing that we're going to be able to do to convince people who are believing something that simply isn't true when it is the fact that the four of us got together to serve the Democratic Party and to get Democrats elected.
All right. Ebony Dukes, how do you see it?
That's the same. I mean, I can honestly say, you know, in my work in the community, I have, you know, been in the same room as Congressman Morelli, but I have not met him just until during this process. So the idea that this is somehow, you know, the brainchild of Joe Morelli, and I, as a Bernie delegate, I was one of the people that he considered to put on the slate, is laughable in the least. So, I again, as my colleague said, we came together as a group who truly wants to see our county party move forward in a more cohesive way that works for everyone and not just a select few.
Beatrice LeBron, how do you see that allegation from Vince Felder?
Way more direct, primarily because I am one of the elected officials outside of this group. So first and foremost, Vince Felder made a conscious decision not to come out and vote. That's his choice. However, you know, neither side of the factions of the party have ever supported me personally in any of my runs for office. And in fact, Vince was part of the fracture of the group that made it not intentionally more difficult and created obstacles for me to get elected. So, you know, his opinion of it is just simply that this is what they do. Evan, if you recall, in 2016, I ran for a committee seat. I went into the 25th district and I became the leader. And, you know, at the time, I have to bring up Adam McFadden. He and I were on your show debating this as well. And back then, you know, it was a different person being accused, because this is how they operate. They tend to, if you're not a part of their group, then they will try to smear your name and put you into another camp. I belong in none of these camps. I never have. I never will. I just have no interest in being a part of anybody's fracture. So I want to be very clear about that. The other piece is that, you know, Vince represents a part of the Democratic Party where, you know, we do have different opinions and ideas on how we should do things. And I do believe that the slate I'm working with now, which, by the way, I've known Zach for a long time. He was a supporter of mine when I ran in 2017, and he was working for Louise Slaughter's campaign first. So I want to put that out there. But we all do have a diverse set of views and experiences as Democrats all over the party. But when you start working with Republicans under the guise of being a Democrat, that's where it becomes problematic for me. And I certainly other Democrats in the party believe and feel the same way, that, you know, there's a thin line when you start crossing over and making deals and working with the Republicans who in the county, at the county level, have controlled the county legislation for a number of years. And these are the outcomes that we have. So I just want to be very clear that his actual opinion of the slate and opinion of myself holds no water. And he's never been someone that supported myself, a woman of color with black and brown children in this school district, in this community, and putting work into this community on the ground level, that I even care about his opinion.
Beatrice, to be fair, are the factions that are perceived by the public, are they real?
There are fractions. Absolutely. There are two fractions of the party, but I want to be very clear that this team belongs to none of those fractions. But this is what they do, right? So, and it certainly comes from that Gantt fraction more than the Morelli side. That has been my personal experience. And again, neither side have supported me, but only one side intentionally created obstacles to try to take me out or make it more difficult for me in the process as a new candidate to run for office and win an elected seat.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is just because I think there is a danger. If this party has been tangled up in factionalism for years, as it seems to have been, I think there's a danger in assuming that everyone who works within a party is either one or the other.
I think that's dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's a danger because it doesn't allow for a new path forward. And
Evan,
so,
Evan,
please.
If I may also, you know, jump in here, you know, it's while there are factions within the party, I think it's a false dichotomy to create in saying that there are only two factions. There are many factions. There's a more progressive wing of the party. There's, you know, the rural Democrats as well, the suburban Democrats. There's city Democrats and splits within city Democrats. There are many different groups and ideas that come from it. And again, it's part of being a part of the big tent party. You know, and every time we fall into this false dichotomy that there's only two opinions and that's the only two opinions that occur, you know, it just factually disenchants and disenfranchises a whole section of Democrats to not allow them to have their opinions heard, understood, and recognized as well. So, yes, there are factions that exist. And yes, those factions can be a little politically fraught every once and again, but they aren't the only Democrats in the party. And I think that's a big part of why our approach to this, you know, coming together as a team, as a slate, was really received very well across all of the county and all the county committees, because everybody recognized that we want to make sure that we're bringing everyone back to the table, not just this faction or that faction, but everyone, and recognizing that their voices are also a part of the general conversation.
Talking to Zach King, Ebony Dukes, Beatrice LeBron, Stephen DeVay, the new slate of leaders for Monroe County Democrats, and this leadership making the case that that yes, as Zach just mentioned, there's going to be different factions or beliefs and a big tent, but they're not beholden to any of the power brokers, and that this is a new way forward that they think is important for this party. We're going to take our only break of the hour, and we'll come back, and we'll address some questions from listeners. If you want to talk about either last night's debate and how you see it as impacting the future for Democrats, some really interesting things said by our guests here, because our guests didn't all necessarily support Joe Biden in the primary. In fact, I think none of them necessarily were working for Joe Biden when the primaries were happening. They certainly are now, but it's a question of bringing in a lot of different voices and views, and then asking, where does the party go from here? On the local level, if you've got comments or questions, we can do that too. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Coming up in our second hour, we ask small business owners to offer their grades for New York State and the federal government when it comes to pandemic response. So far, the grades that have come in have not been pretty, but we want businesses to be blunt. Has government responded in the way that they hoped? Can they survive a pandemic winter? What do they need from government next? Their voices and yours next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Nathan writes to the program and says, did Beatrice LeBron suggest that no Democrats should attempt to be bipartisan or work with Republicans? Beatrice, go ahead.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Obviously, in order to move things forward, we have to figure out ways to work with all human beings. Let me just put that out there. But what I'm suggesting is that we should not have a Democrat elected official who acts more Republican and sides with Republicans on issues and does not support the Democrats that they're elected as colleagues. That's what I'm suggesting.
All right. Another listener says, Evan, it seems this slate looks like the city of Rochester's Democratic Party, but 3/4 of the voters live outside of the city. Considering that so much power is in the county, what will the city-centered team do to make sure they include Monroe County Democrats? Zach King, you want to start? Go ahead.
Well, I think it's about making sure continued conversations are being had. It's not just about us coming in and saying, yes, we'd like to increase our digital operations as a slate. Yes, we'd like to create larger field operations. Yes, we'd like to help, individual Democratic committees work to fundraising more. But it's also recognizing that certain tools will work better in certain areas, right? Knocking doors is always going to be a little bit more difficult in Rush than it is in the 19th Ward. You know, digital advertising is going to play a little bit better out in Hilton and Sweden and Brockport versus, how it's going to play over in Pittsburgh. So I think it's about making sure we're having continued conversations with Democrats across the board. And I think that's one of the big things that we want to make sure we're doing is that we're communicating and we're transparent in how we are going about making those decisions to, tackle and address issues for Democrats, both within the city as well as within the suburbs. So I know it's a part of the continued conversations that we're all looking forward to having.
Okay. Stephen DeBay, how do you see it?
So I think that it's important that we remember that folks are more than just what they are right now and right today. So I do live in the city, but I'm proud to be from Hilton, New York, on the west side where I grew up and graduated in 2005. My family's from Hamlin, so you can't get any more west than that in the county. I work in Fairport, New York now, so cover the east side, and I went to school in Henrietta. So I very much covered a lot of those suburbs and bring a lot of that experience with me to the table. And I think that with all of that, with that knowledge, with that experience, with those lessons that I've learned throughout there, we have the ability to work collaboratively and together with the leaders of the town committees that are popping up and that exist within across this county. We're proud to be adding in some new committees coming up on the west side that are going to start to join the ranks and ensure that Democrats, again, are not just being elected in the city, but that we're electing and growing this party across Monroe County, because we believe that it's going to be a blue county, that we're going to be pushed to be the Democratic Monroe County that we need to be. And we're going to continue doing that. And to do that, we have to include our suburbs, we have to include our rural communities, and we have to include the people that are voting there.
Ebony, how do you see it?
I guess I echo Stephen's sentiments. I do live in the city of Rochester. I live in the heart of the 19th Ward, which is Legislative District 27. However, I grew up in Henrietta my entire life. I graduated from Rush Henrietta Schools. I still have family that lives in the Rush Henrietta District. So, I think it's a little short-sighted to suggest, based off of where our current residence is, that we may not be able to understand or have the best interests or concerns of any other county-wide committees, at heart. I want to see the entire county move forward in a more progressive, democratic way, especially making sure that families and children needs are met, mental health services are met, early intervention, you know, all the things that we as Democrats, as progressives, should be fighting for. And that is regardless of what zip code you live in.
Beatrice LeBrun, how do you see it?
I support and echo everything that my colleagues have shared, and I'll take it a step further that, you know, a lot of it is also about the relationships that we're hoping to build with Democrats who do live all across Monroe County, and hoping that we can, in our job here and our roles here, support the committees that do exist and the current leadership that exists throughout Monroe County with the county Democratic leaders, and supporting and expanding their committee structures and making sure that that process is well understood throughout Monroe County and that we're building relationships. And, you know, personally, I do live in the city, but I do have friends all over Monroe County. And I work currently in a position that requires me to do home visits all over Monroe County as well.
Tim wants to know if the new leadership is concerned about the allegations against Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren. Well, Zach King, I'll start with you on this. She, of course, is one of the most influential leaders in the party, won easily a second term, now faces not only allegations in court, but also calls from many in the activist community for her resignation over the handling of the Daniel Prude case. And so I'm wondering, Zach, you know, do you weigh in on this at all? Do you want to see a primary to the mayor? Do you want to see multiple Democratic candidates for mayor? Are you waiting on that? How do you see it?
Well, I want to see investigations held at their fullest and independent investigations held at their fullest. You know, in regards to the Daniel Prude murder back in March, you know, the attorney general is currently doing her own investigation. City council is in the middle of their own investigation as well. So I believe we need to make sure we understand exactly what happened, when it happened, who knew what, when, before we can make, you know, sweeping calls for resignations. I understand the disheartenedness of the community at the entire situation. But we still need to make sure we understand all the facts before we're out here, you know, throwing different forms of accusations there. And in regards to the grand jury, you know, the grand jury found enough evidence to forward this over to trial, which, you know, at this point, there is now a legal process to play out in the courts. And, you know, and under our current system, you know, it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And the mayor will have her opportunity to have her state her case in court as well. So again, we have to let these processes play out. And then we have the opportunity for the voters to decide down the line. I think more generally, we want as many people to get involved in running for office, you know, not just mayor, but we're talking, you know, the city council races that are up, the at-large seats that are up. There are, next year is a whole local year where most of, if not all, I believe, of county ledges up for election as well. So there are a lot of places that we want more people to get involved and to run for office. And I think a big portion of what we need to do as a central party is making sure that we are a neutral ground for all people who want to get involved, and making sure people understand what the process is, making sure they understand how to move forward through designation, through petitioning, all the way through to primary day. And then it's up for the voters to make their decision.
Okay. Ebony, you want to weigh in on that question surrounding the mayor? Go ahead.
You know, I feel as if, you know, we need to wait to see what happens in court. I am a strong proponent in transparency. And, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what position you are elected to whom much is given, much is required. So, and that's for all people who are in elected positions. So we'll see what happens. We wish her best. But at the end of the day, you know, I just hope justice prevails.
Beatrice LeBrun, what do you think?
I'm going to echo the same things my colleagues have already said. At this point, it's up to the courts and the process of the trial to go through the evidence. But I will uplift Free the People Rock and their demands. And I 100% support all of the demands that they've been making, including the resignations, not just of the mayor, but all of the individuals that they have put out there to resign, as well as dropping all the charges. So that's where I'm at with it. Let the court have do the due process with the mayor, with the evidence. And I think, you know, with campaign finance, folks need to understand the accusations, it's not, there's no precedent to this. So there's no case law and case that we can go back to review. So this is going to be one of those historical piece in politics.
Do you then hope to see a robust primary next June for the mayor's seat, Beatrice?
I hope to see a robust primary in all seats. We have school board, city council, county ledge, the mayor's race, and part of the some of the stuff that this slate did go out and talk about was encouraging more people to run, educating them about how to run for office, and providing the MCDC as the infrastructure and the neutral zone so that all candidates can have equal information and opportunities to learn how to run for office. And so I hope to see all the seats have a robust amount of candidates.
Well, and one more point on that, Beatrice, before I get Stephen's take, and then we'll get some phone calls. When Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won, we had a conversation on this program with Latina leaders in this community, yourself included, about some of the ways that party structures here, nationally, elsewhere, often tell basically the whole community there's a hierarchy, there's an order, get in line, but often people of color and women of color are told you're going to be last in line. And this idea that if you're not, if you haven't done X, Y, and Z, you can't run, you shouldn't primary somebody, you're not welcome. You know, I wonder if you have a mindset, Beatrice, having been through that, that as part of this slate, some of what Zach was just talking about has to be reflected, which is, you know, that the party is going to work hard for the candidate to win, but the party is going to be a big tent that welcomes its own, you know, political battles within it, and that doesn't destroy the party. A primary doesn't destroy the party. People aren't personally destroyed if they want to run a primary. How do you feel about that, Beatrice?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I'm saying, that we will welcome individuals to come and learn how to run for office, learn about what the committee structure is. You know, people don't even know what the committee seat actually does and how you can serve on even that level in the party. And that is a long, we have a lot of work and a long way to go before we get there, but we certainly will start with educating people how to run for office. You know, what are the things that they need to know to do and ensure that it is equally shared to whoever requests that information or comes to one of the workshops that we're hoping to put out in the near future. It should not be an insider ball, an insider game, and it should be open to anybody who wants to run. There are some very basic minimum qualifications to run for office. Like for school board, you have to live in the city, you have to be a citizen, and you got to be 18 and over. Those are some very basic requirements. And if that's what the law says, then that's what the law says. We should not be creating further obstacles for anyone to run for office, whether we personally like them or not. And that's going to be our role as the new slate for MCDC. The new team is ensuring that we're providing equal opportunity for everyone that wants to run for office.
All right, Stephen DeVay, go ahead.
I actually think that there are many times where folks need to listen a little bit more than they talk. And for me, this is one of those times. And I think my colleagues have the understanding and the voice that needs to be lifted up here. And I agree with what they've said.
Smart man. Let me get William in Rochester on the phone. Go ahead, William.
Hey, do you remember me? You got mad at me. That's not my call. Anyway, about the mayor. You know, the prosecutor's office and all that, the grand jury, all that's already been done. I just don't see the need for independent investigation and all that. You know what I mean? I just don't see the need for it. It's been done, you know. As far as investigation, let's just see, you know, how bad it was, you know, through the court.
Hey, William, let me just jump in just because I can barely hear you. It's very far away. I heard you saying, I don't see the need for an independent investigation. I can't fully make out the comment regarding the mayor's case. I will just say, to our guest's point, there are multiple investigations going on regarding the Prude case. In fact, there are four different investigations going on there. Those will probably proceed more quickly than a possible trial regarding campaign finance charges would proceed, and I think it's wise for everybody to take a breath and wait and see what investigations play out. I mean, I certainly also understand Beatrice LeBron lifting up the voices of Free the People Rock and their demands as well, because there's a certain segment of the community that might feel like it's seen enough already. But there are investigations happening, and regardless of where you stand on resignation, I think investigation is a good thing. I think the most transparency and sunlight we can get is probably a good thing. Let me get John in Penfield. Go ahead, John.
And regardless of where you stand on resignation, I think investigation is a good thing.
Hey, John, hey, turn your radio, John. John, oh, man. See, John, you got the radio up. You're a little behind.
Hello, Evan.
Yeah, there you are. Hi, John. Go ahead.
My question is for the entire slate. What of the entire new leadership of the Monroe County Democratic Party, what are the 3 to 6 guiding principles that you will use to unify the party going forward?
Okay. The chair is Zach King. You want to take that? 3 to 6 guiding principles, if you've got them, Zach?
More than happy to. I can talk a little bit about, you know, our goals in leadership. You know, firstly, you know, I think our one of our main goals is to develop a large coalition of community members from across all of the county. You know, not only those who are already active within the party, but also the folks who are a bit disenchanted with the entire elections process. I mean, when you look, sit down and look at the amount of people who are registered to vote just within the county, you know, you're talking about 460,000 of about 770,000 eligible voters are actually registered to vote. And on an average election year, and yes, elections vary depending on presidential, local, midterm years, et cetera, but on average, about 54% of that, little over 50% of voters actually vote on a regular basis. So it's first about making sure we're developing a broad coalition across not only the existing party, but making sure that we're growing the party out and making sure that we're making it more accessible for everyone who leans towards the Democratic values. Secondly, I'd say, you know, we want to make sure we're investing in new technologies and new processes to make sure that we are working on behalf of all of our candidates and making sure that people understand the best ways to go about digital advertising, the best ways to go out and talk to voters and get their messages out. So making sure that we are providing resources as a central party to our candidates and to campaigns to make sure that we are getting more people involved and that they understand exactly how these things work. And additionally, you know, making sure that we're utilizing the central party structure to build not only for candidates of today, but for candidates of tomorrow, making sure that we're creating a great learning environment for interns, for young organizers who may at some point go on to run campaigns themselves or run for office themselves, and making sure that they understand what the process is from the get when they first get involved, and making sure that they have all the appropriate tools and skills that they're going to need to move forward in this election, environment.
All right, let me ask the other guests, and this will be a good way to sort of wrap. I'll give you about a minute each, one of the guiding principles or ideas that's going to guide your work as you work on this slate for the Monroe County Democrats. Ebony, I'll turn to you next. Go ahead.
For me, it's about inclusion, and we've talked a lot about that. You know, I had similar experiences as Beatrice. I did run for Monroe County Legislator last year as an outsider, and, you know, it was a wonderful learning experience. You know, it grew. I grew and was stretched, you know, in ways that I never really knew was possible. But truly inclusion, making sure that all voices are at the table. We need to have, new ideas, fresh ideas. We need to be thinking about innovation, not just in technology, but and how we approach policy and how we are going to develop efforts, advocacy efforts, and other things that is really going to move our party forward and really support the constituents in Monroe County, because we're hurting, you know, not only the Democratic Party, just in general. So for me, inclusion, we need new ideas, innovation, in making sure everyone is at the table.
All right, Beatrice, 45 seconds.
transparency. I just want to be clear. We're not here as a newly elected slate to be gatekeepers for any side of the fraction. So really making sure that all of our committee members and the entire Democratic Party and Democrats across Monroe County know where we're at and what we're doing at all times. So transparency for sure.
All right. The last minute to Stephen DeVay. Go ahead, Stephen.
Since I'm the last one on the slate, I'm going to end with one that I know that we all agree with, and that's that we are going to be hardworking, dependable organizers for this party that are going to work towards getting Democrats elected. And that's the values that we share as Democrats, the values that we believe in, the fact that we believe in the value of people, regardless of race, creed, who they love, religion, and all that. We're going to work hard to make sure that all of those people are represented.
And Stephen, because we've got 30 seconds, I'm just going to ask you, when you look at the national polling, Democrats would perhaps feel very buoyed by what they're seeing in polling across the country. You're a data guy. How do you see things shaping up right now, and how should your party feel?
I think that we all looked at 2016 and we believed certain things were going to happen, and we were all shocked and surprised. And I hope that not a single listener here has to wake up on November 4th wishing that they had done more. I encourage everybody to reach out, volunteer, make phone calls, make donations, do everything you can to make sure that this goes the way that you want it to.
I want listeners to know we reached out to the party leadership locally for Republicans and Democrats. Democrats took us up on it, and it was our first chance to hear the new slate, and I want to thank them. Zach King, Beatrice LeBron, Ebony Duke, Stephen DeVay, thanks for taking the time for being with us, and I hope we can talk a lot more in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Very much appreciate hearing from this slate. And I think that that word that you heard from Beatrice LeBron, transparency, is so important. More connections coming up next.